listening to Fox Sports Radio. This is Straight Out of Vegas with the voice of Vegas, your host, RJ Bell. The pregame show America has always wanted. I doubt the future. I doubt the future. From the Vegas Strip, here's RJ Bell.
Heard it, I'm RJ live, coast to coast. 6 o'clock Eastern, 3 o'clock here in Vegas. Action-packed Wednesday hour for you. Yeah, we're going to look at the Final Four every day, digging a little deeper. And Brad Powers, who joins me in studio, one of the pros who knows, he's got a conspiracy theory why Auburn should not be bet. Fade Auburn. We'll have some X-Files music behind that one. Steve Fezzik taking his senior day. We'll be discussing what buffet he's taking the family to with what two-for-one type discount coupon. Sports bettors listen for the money. Sports fans listen to know more than their buddies. My personal promise, we will deliver the Vegas truth to you. But you can't have pros without Joes. He is Jonas Knox.
Always good to be here, RJ. And we start on Straight Out of Vegas with what happened last night in Oklahoma City, where Russell Westbrook with another triple-double, except this time 20 points, 20 boards, 21 assists, just the second player in league history to do it. So what does Vegas make of what Westbrook did last night in the win over the Lakers?
I mean, first I would say Wilt being the other player, probably the second most impressive Wilt number I've heard, his 20 triple 20. But the fact of the matter is, it's mind-blowing. I mean, as much as Jonas has a conflict with Colin, Colin has a conflict with Russell Westbrook. And it was like, yeah, you know, this was great, but let's talk about how Westbrook's not gonna likely win a title this year. And to me, there's a question we got to ask ourselves as sports fans. And I think this has changed a lot over the years. What matters other than titles? So, Jonas, is there a team that you still, and this is always a challenge. Dan Patrick talked about this years ago. If you're a media personality, now a journalist, you know, even has higher standards. But if you're a talking head, a hot take, hot shot like Jonas, you know, the state, you can root, right? JT used to root on Fox all the time. He was a Raiders guy, right? I don't think, as long as you're, you know, Bill Simmons, as long as you're honest about it, I don't think there's any problem with it. You know, be honest. I'm a fan. You know, don't try to act like you're other than that. So, Jonas, if you could have one team win the title this year, that would most affect you. Is there any team that moves the needle
in the NBA?
And no, any league.
I would say probably the Chicago Bears. That was a team that I grew up on.
I mean, but would you really be happy? Like, if the Bears won the Super Bowl, would you be happy for, like, at least 5 days?
I would be happy. I don't know if it would do what it would before I got into radio.
So, something else soiled by radio for Jonas. So, Brad, is there any team that meets that criteria for you? Notre Dame.
Yeah, Notre Dame football.
All right, so if Notre Dame wins a national title, are you happy for a week?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so here's the question. And Notre Dame is the perfect team to discuss here. Straight Out of Vegas, I'm RJ Bell, discussing what is success in sports and connecting that to Russell Westbrook's amazing triple 20 that he had yesterday. Has that phrase been used before? Should I trademark that? Triple 20 is pretty good.
I didn't hear it before today.
Have you heard it before?
No. Not on this show. So just take it.
You mean not in the last 3 minutes?
Just steal it. Yeah, just it's yours. Triple 20, it's yours.
I like it. Remember, there wasn't triple doubles until Magic, someone for the Lakers said, let's start counting these things. He seems to be doing pretty well with these. All right. Notre Dame made the playoffs.
Yep.
They overperformed expectations.
Yep. Season win total was only 9.
Got beat soundly.
Yep.
How did you feel at the end of all that? Because there's two possibilities. One is anything but a title is jibber jabber, shut up, go home, work harder, and win something. But then it's like, well, wait a minute. By definition, every team but one's going to be unsuccessful if that's the case. Were the Browns unsuccessful last year?
No.
Didn't even make the playoffs. Right? Were the Utah Jazz, Stockton, Malone, for the decade and a half plus, were they just, how'd they do? You know, how was the 1989 season? Failure. 90 season, failure. 91. Like, would you go down every Stockton Malone season and just put failure right beside?
No, I would not.
But haven't we as a, in the sports entertainment industrial complex that Jonas is the love child of, haven't we made it where it's hard to celebrate any victory except a title?
We have. I've seen it directly in college football where we don't celebrate Rose Bowl wins like we used to. It's, well, you didn't make the playoff, didn't win the title. As a Buckeye fan, you know, you just won the Rose Bowl this year, RJ. Did that feel like it did winning the Rose Bowl when you were growing up as a kid?
Now listen, I will agree to the following. If you're winning a lot of titles, if you're Alabama and you don't win a title, I think it's fair to say you aren't happy. I think we should all just listen. It's like anything else. The guy that has an IQ, guy or gal that has an IQ of 80, you know, there was an old show on TV, I think it was on ABC, Life Goes On. It's one of those shows, for whatever reason, I don't see streaming. I don't know if there's a rights dispute. I just don't see it anywhere. But it was about a family that ran a diner. Did you ever watch this show?
Yep.
And Corky was, I think Down syndrome was what he had. But Corky graduated high school. And it was like one of the more profound moments on TV up to that point. It was like this guy, for him to graduate high school, was like somebody else, a super talented kid getting a PhD. And we often will grade people harshly in this regard. George W. Bush, oh, he was born on third. So him becoming president was easy. It's like, well, how many other sons of presidents have ever became president? So no doubt George W. Bush had it easier to become president than I did or you did, Brad. But certainly it's an accomplishment still, right? So it's, where did you start? How hard was it to get there? And where did you end up? And to me, you look at the Browns and you would say you started off a winless season and you ended up finished the season as probably one of the 10 or 12 best teams in the NFL.
Yep.
That is a success, in my opinion. How many titles did George Gervin win? The Iceman, the master of the finger roll. How many titles did Gervin win?
Zero.
But do we look back and say, oh, he was a failure?
No, we do not.
So I get it. At the highest echelon is going to be the Jordans. And it's going to be the title guys, the Bill Russell guys. And we're going to say, okay, LeBron had this many, Michael had this many. And I'm not saying that isn't the ultimate goal. But I look at Stockton and Malone as a great example. Or let's say in today's NBA, let's just say OKC for the next 5 years makes the playoffs five times, makes one conference final, and they average 54 wins a year, but no titles. Is that a failure?
No, it's not.
It certainly is. It doesn't put you in the conversation with Magic and Bird, but it puts you in the conversation with a George Gervin, with a Dominique Wilkins, right? So to me, it's like literally since Wilt did it, Michael Jordan had, what, 1,000-plus games to potentially do it. Magic had 1,000-plus games to potentially do it. Bird.
LeBron.
And I haven't even, has anyone here even contemplated
no.
a triple 20? I mean, have you ever thought how cool would it be if some, now a quadruple double Hakeem had, that was a fascinating thing, right? The blocks being the fourth item. But this guy has done something no one, we haven't even thought of since Wilt did it. And Wilt's a guy that scored 100 points. So, I mean, this is like a whole different universe Wilt was in. So I totally get saying that the guys at the upper echelon, the guys on the Mount Rushmore's a sport, they need to win titles. But I think you can have an amazing career and one that means something to the city. I mean, look at the Browns. As much as we look at the Browns and say, with the fumble and all the stuff with Elway. Let's say Elway, it's so funny with Elway. Elway won two titles his last two seasons.
Yep.
He had zero titles before that. If I recall, he was 0 for 4 in Super Bowls. If he had retired 2 years earlier, would we say Elway was, his career was pointless? Would we say he wasn't a great quarterback? Because to be candid, he wasn't near the quarterback his last two seasons. He was earlier in his career. Right? They had a run. Denver had a running game, et cetera. And I get it. Ultimately, you're counting championships with the Mount Rushmore guys. But someone like Elway that you could have said, he put us in the playoffs all those years. He brought us to Super Bowls. And, man, it would have been nice to finish. And that keeps him behind Montana. That keeps him behind whomever. But man, oh man, that guy added to the sport and he added to this franchise. It seems like if you removed Westbrook from OKC, do you think Paul George is in OKC?
No.
So what is OKC? If Westbrook, when he signed that contract, the most recent contract, he could have went somewhere else. If he had went somewhere else, what would the over-under be for OKC's wins right now in this season?
25 to 30.
That's what I think. So here's a guy that Colin is debating might win one playoff series if they're lucky. And he's right. If he's trying to get compared to Steph Curry or Durant, he's not at that level. But for a guy to do something individually that no one has done for decades and decades, and also is keeping Oklahoma City in the conversation and allowing those fans to have games that matter. I mean, I guess as a fan, that's all you can really hopefully ask for is to have games that matter. It might be that one playoff game. It might be that game to see if you win it, you have a chance for the playoffs. But there's nothing worse than following a team where the games don't matter, right? And to me, Russell Westbrook, as an individual, no one can deny he's doing things no one has ever done. But as a team player, he's not likely the type to lead to championships. Some of his personality traits that allow him to do triple 20s probably prevent him from winning titles. There's probably an inverse correlation there. But he still creates many, many games for OKC that matter. And as a fan, I think that has to mean something greater than zero. It can't just be titles.
It's why I've always felt the Bills in the early 90s were sort of underappreciated. Because if the Scott Norwood kick is, you know, 3 feet to the left, it's a completely different conversation. Four straight Super Bowls dominated the conference for that long a time, but they just couldn't get it done in the big game. They sort of get brushed aside as a failure because they weren't able to win one.
Great example, Jonas. And really, if you think about it, if they somehow had won all four of those games, now obviously they were blown out in some of them, they would be considered the best team of all time.
Yep.
they were 4 wins away from being the best team of all time. But I can promise you this, there's a great movie, Buffalo 66. Now listen, when you haven't had a title for 50 years or whatever, and the idea of can we break the schneid, I get where that becomes an obsession. But other than that, the Bills had a lot of games that mattered and a lot of times to cheer. And ultimately, if you're a sports fan, if your team gives you games that matter and gives you a chance to genuinely cheer, that means something. It doesn't mean as much as titles, but it means something. And I think in talk radio, we want to be negative. It's easy to be negative. I think it's important to say Westbrook is not a championship NBA player, it seems, at least at this point of his career, but he's one of the best individual players, and even as a team player, very meaningful for Oklahoma City and its fans. When we come back, speaking of money, cold cash over hot takes, baby. Russell Wilson, is he worth it?
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox, and this is the pregame show you've always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I'm RJ Bell. We're Straight Outta Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of You, the Fan. Coming up here in just a moment, we have a quarterback deadline in the NFL.
Each weekday, we have fun bringing the fun of Vegas straight to you. Right now on the Strip, what could be the best temperature? 77 degrees. Lucky sevens, baby. And the neon is flowing.
Adam Schefter of ESPN is reporting that Seahawks quarterback Russell Wilson, who is entering the final year of his current contract, has given the team an April 15th deadline to negotiate a new deal. RJ, what does Vegas make of Russell Wilson's deadline approach?
Well, listen, I've got a personal theory.
Here's a theory for you to disregard completely.
I still haven't figured out the Nick Foles Super Bowl. And I'm being very serious about that. For a decade plus on the radio, on TV, leading up to that game, I said the following. Look at your Super Bowl champions. Almost every one of them this century have a Hall of Fame quarterback. And you could look at Brad Johnson, you can look at that Ravens team with Trent Dilfer and say, okay, let's not make it this generation as the clean demarcator, but let's say 2003 or four, whatever it is. Okay. So literally from there, except for Nick Foles, you could make the case, I think, Brad, pull it up, just glance, Super Bowl champion quarterbacks. I think you could make the case everyone's a Hall of Famer.
Flacco would be the only other one.
All right, fair enough. And let's be candid. At the time, Flacco was probably playing as the fourth or fifth best quarterback in the NFL throughout that run that year. Now, he hasn't played like that since, but he was a pedigree quarterback, played well. Okay, Nick Foles is a backup quarterback, or at least he was at the time. I know he's getting paid real money this year, but he signed with the Eagles as a backup. It wasn't like he was supposed to start. Any other quarterbacks jump out?
No, just Flacco.
So literally, you take out Flacco, like unequivocally, I mean, Russell Wilson, I think Hall of Fame probably is, I mean, we're segueing into that discussion.
Eli's borderline.
Yeah, that's the interesting one. Yeah. But okay. All right. So then, lo and behold, Nick Foles puts up one of the five best days in the history of the Super Bowl for a quarterback. And I still haven't figured it out yet. And here's what I'm thinking it means. We know quarterbacks didn't mean as much back 20, 30 years ago. And as passing has become a bigger and bigger part of the NFL game, quarterbacks mean more and more. That's been the narrative throughout this century. But could it be that we've reached a point that it's so, and I'll put in quotes, easy to be an above-average NFL quarterback, meaning that there's a lot of people out there, you know, when I say a lot, I mean there's 30, 40 people out there that can do it, that the difference between a good quarterback and a Russell Wilson, maybe it doesn't matter like it used to. So if you went through the Super Bowl, I don't know if you've got the losing quarterbacks right there. Do you?
I do.
All right, let's read them back. The losing quarterbacks in the Super Bowl, starting with the most recent year.
Obviously, most recent year, Jared Goff.
All right.
Tom Brady.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
Cam Newton. Russell Wilson. Peyton Manning.
Keep going.
Kaepernick. Brady again. Roethlisberger, Peyton Manning, Kurt Warner, Tom Brady, Rex Grossman, Matt Hasselbeck, Donovan McNabb, Jake Delhomme, Rich Gannon.
Okay. So what we were seeing there is that even the second quarterback oftentimes was a Hall of Famer, is what we've seen. But then we've had the times where the Rex Grossman jumps out at you, Delhomme jumps out at you, where this guy just doesn't belong. But let me ask you a question. Was Rex Grossman more pedigreed than Nick Foles? Meaning Rex Grossman was the starting quarterback for the Bears.
He wasn't.
That year he was not the starter coming into the season?
Well, that's true. Yeah, I mean, he was the starter.
Yeah. What I'm saying is the idea that Rex Grossman would have put up a monster day.
Okay.
Or yep. Jake Delhomme would have put up a monster day seems more likely than some backup quarterback putting up a monster day, right?
You're right. Yep.
But when entering, I still remember those games and the hype leading up to them. It was always like, well, listen, Rex Grossman's not going to win a Super Bowl. You know, that was the narrative. And to me, it was like shooting like a long three. It was like, you know, let's say 1987 NBA or 1990. Shooting a three was a tough shot. So if you could do it, it was like amazing. Larry Bird can shoot a three pretty successfully. It's a true weapon. Now you've got center shooting threes. So it strikes me that Jared Goff could have very easily won a Super Bowl this year. And where would he have fit in all this? I'm not a big Jared Goff fan. Obviously, he didn't play so well in this game. But it just feels like, and maybe this is the analogy, is if you only need someone to make 2 out of 10 free throws, is there any reason to buy a 90% free throw shooter? Meaning, yes, Larry Bird is going to make 2 out of 10 free throws more often than an average free throw shooter. But an average free throw shooter, it's easy enough to make 2 free throws that he's going to make it most of the time. It used to be an elite quarterback, you had to be like a 90% free throw shooter. And thus, Hall of Famers won Super Bowls. We've got a time where Nick Foles, under the brightest lights, can put up 500 yards or whatever he put up. We got a time that Fitzmagic, as much as we might want to make fun of him and all his multiple tens of millions of dollar contracts, where he'll put up multiple games, 850 yards and 9 touchdowns over 2 games. There were times in the 90s that no one would do that in a whole season. So the question becomes, if the 10th or 15th best quarterback in the NFL can win a Super Bowl today, but they couldn't win a Super Bowl, or it would be very hard 10 years ago, could it be that a Russell Wilson, who, you know, is he the third best quarterback, fourth best quarterback? Here's Fez's rankings right now. Straight out of Vegas, I'm RJ Bell talking about, is Russell Wilson worth it? Is any quarterback worth it? Because the stat was going around this year, I'm just going by memory, the top 6 paid quarterbacks.
You're right.
You got
top,
this?
Yeah, the top 6 quarterbacks didn't even make the playoffs this year, paid quarterbacks.
Now, listen, some of that's fluky.
Yep.
And some of that is Tom Brady's taking a discount.
Yep.
Right? So who were the 6?
Rodgers, Matt Ryan, Kirk Cousins, Jimmy G, Matt Stafford, and Derek Carr.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of
and it's funny because you could make the case with some of them, Carr being the best example, he got paid early.
Yep.
Because at this point, the discussion is, should he be the quarterback? So when you got a guy that's a top 6 quarterback and you're debating pay, and you're debating should he be the quarterback, you got a real problem. But here's Fezzik's ratings. Rodgers, Mahomes, Wilson, Luck, Brady, Breeze, Big Ben, Rivers, Ryan, Wentz, Jimmy G, Stafford, Watson. That's the top dozen. I'm not sure I disagree greatly with any of those. Though I really think Rodgers is aging faster than we think. So I might put Mahomes ahead of him. And I actually might put Wilson down. First of all, I don't think Breeze is six. I think unless there's an injury, I'm going to look very closely at Breeze early in the year. But unless he looks, I mean, the way Breeze was playing the last six or so games of the year, I'd make the case he was an average quarterback at best.
You could totally make that case, RJ.
So the question was he hurt in a way we didn't know about? But my question is, could you see a Watson win a Super Bowl?
Absolutely.
Could you see a Goff win a Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Could you see a Foles win a Super Bowl? Oh, wait. you could see Kirk Cousins win a Super Bowl, right?
Yeah.
Cam Newton?
Yeah.
Dak Prescott?
Yep.
We're starting to move towards like the 20th best quarterback now. So do you pay someone $30 million and maybe they legitimately are the third best quarterback? Or do you pay get a rookie, hope that they are the 13th or 14th best quarterback? Dak was a fourth round pick, and understand that now you have like another $25 million to spend on edge rushers, tackles, everything else. And I get it, is for a long time you would say, if you don't have a Hall of Famer, forget about it. So if you have a Hall of Famer, do what you need to do to keep them. I just wonder, and Jonas, I'd like to get your final thought on this. I just wonder, has it become so easy to throw in the NFL that an average quarterback can win a Super Bowl? And if an average quarterback can win a Super Bowl, is it worth the money to pay for a great quarterback?
If you have the pieces around him, you do what Philadelphia, the Rams, the Bears, other teams have done, build around your young quarterback if you have the pieces around him. But I think Russell Wilson's one of those rare exceptions in the NFL where with a mediocre supporting cast, he can go out there and he can win you games just by himself alone.
And can Mahomes do that? Can Rodgers do that? Who's in that group that can do that?
Brady can do it, clearly. Rodgers can do it when he's healthy. Mahomes, wait and see.
Because to me, I think the fact that Wilson's 30 years old.
Yeah.
So this scrambling stuff is going to end pretty soon. Mm. Right? Mm. So the idea that Wilson is the right quarterback for a team with a bad O-line and a team that needs you to break a couple of runs because they've got a good defense, but that's about all you've got on offense, those days are getting to be about over. And you really got to wonder, does Wilson age? You know, how do mobile quarterbacks typically age in the NFL?
Not well.
So, again, and I'm not saying I'm not a Wilson guy. I'm saying if you have a car that needs to get to 60, and 10 years ago you had to pay $100,000 for a car that could go 60, and oh, by the way, if you didn't have a car that could go 60, you couldn't win the race, you paid the $100,000. But if you can get a car that can go 60 now for $10,000, and by the way, the $100,000 cars can go 80, the question becomes, is that extra 20 miles an hour worth it, or can you get more value somewhere else? I don't think that was a conversation 5 years ago. I think it is now. And I'm going to end the segment with this question. What do you think Belichick would do? Do you think Belichick... If Brady would have said in the last contract, I want to be the highest paid player in the NFL. See that contract that Aaron Rodgers just got? I want $1 more. What do we think Belichick would do?
He wouldn't go for it. Well, there's no doubt.
But he wouldn't have traded Garoppolo.
I mean, but that's the question is, would, because Russell Wilson, I mean, Wilson's not Brady, so... Meaning Wilson is a level below Brady in his prime for sure, right? Brady's the GOAT. It just is interesting. And let's give Brady credit that he didn't always need to take all the money, right? And that helped him win. And he had other sources of income and his wife's a supermodel and all this stuff. But I just wonder, could you see I mean, look at the Ravens. The Ravens have hardly, I mean, this year they slipped into the playoffs. The Ravens have hardly been competitive since they won a Super Bowl because they overpaid for a quarterback. I just don't see Belichick, even with Brady being the GOAT, saying we're going to have you be the highest paid player in the NFL. And you know me, they got the bumper stickers. What would Jesus do? Well, when it comes to football, for me, it's what would Belichick do? When we come back in just a minute, oh, it's that time of year. Who is the greatest NBA player of all time?
That's coming up next. But for all the latest from around the world of sports, it's Dan Beyer.
A wild one today as Bryce Harper and his Phillies took out his former team, the Nationals, and it ended in interesting fashion.
Robertson to the belt. The kick and the pitch. It's inside, ball four. And a curly W's in the books. Here comes Anthony Rendon down the line to score as Jake Knoll reaches first base. He is mobbed by his teammates. He gets his first Major League RBI. It's a game winner without getting a hit.
Yeah, the walk-off walk on the Nationals radio network in that 9-8 Nats victory. Bryce Harper went 2-for-2, walked three times, and scored a run in defeat. The Nationals did play shortstop Trey Turner on the 10-day injured list. They're in the ninth inning in the Bronx. Tigers lead the Yankees by a score of 2-1. Brewers down the Reds today, 1-0. Rockies did the same to the Rays, 1-0 in 11. Chris Iannetta, a solo home run for the Rockies in the top half of the 11th, the only run of the game. We expect at the top of the hour that Murray State guard Ja Morant will announce he's entering the NBA draft. Well, North Carolina point guard Coby White is leaving school to enter the NBA draft, as is LSU forward Naz Reid. Buzz Williams is leaving Virginia Tech to be the new men's basketball coach at Texas A&M. And UCLA, according to the LA Times, is deep in contract talks with TCU's Jamie Dixon to become the new men's basketball coach of the Bruins. Still working out details, though, and one of the issues could be the buyout at TCU, which could be upwards to $8 million. Back to you guys.
Thanks, Dan. Straight out of Vegas here on Fox Sports Radio. Coming up in 10 minutes from now here on FSR, we will take a look ahead and give you an opportunity to make a little bit of coin on a Wednesday night. I'm Jonas Knox, the voice of you, the fan. He is the voice of Vegas, RJ Bell.
You know something, it's always fun to be ironic and talk about hot takes and, oh, this is a typical kind of, oh, First Take's going to cover this or Undisputed's going to cover that. But really, I find it amusing and sincerely that it wasn't that long ago that the conversation was LeBron versus Michael. And let's be honest, as much as Jonas just has his feud with Colin, I mean, we want to give Colin a fair shot because, I mean, he's a personal friend, and I consider him the most talented radio guy in the business. But Colin was leading the way with this conversation not that long ago, saying LeBron is the GOAT. And I tweeted this out, and I think it really is such a contrast to what we saw or what we're seeing from LeBron. So Michael Jordan's last 10 full seasons before he retired with the Bulls, here's the games played for Michael. So 82-game regular season. 82, 82, 81, 82, 82, 80, 78, 82, 82, 82. So in his last 10 full regular seasons before his comeback, Michael Jordan missed 7 regular season games. I mean, talk about a guy. Load management, hashtag load manage this. And oh, by the way, Michael played 82 games in his last season with the Wizards. So he's like 40 years old. He still gets an 82. And just think how much more physical the NBA was back then. Mm. They used to have 4 games in 5 nights so much more often back then. I think early in his career, they still used to have 3 games. They used to have back-to-back-to-backs.
Hand-checking allowed.
He said, I don't give a care. I mean, I get it. I mean, LeBron's LeBron, and let's give him some credit. But boy, oh boy, if you were there, I'm finally the age. So, Jonas, do you remember Michael?
Yeah. Of course.
Like, how old were you in 96?
14, 15.
All right. Yeah. So, yeah. Were you rooting for the Bulls?
No, but I knew how great he was, so it was fun to watch.
That was the point. I hated the Bulls.
I did too.
And I would root against them and against them and against them. You never know how good someone is till you root against them, because you always knew Michael was going to find a way to win. And, I mean, I grew up when I was, you know, 15 years old on Magic and Bird. So I saw winners. And Michael had that next level of killer instinct. And to me, LeBron is a marvel. In many ways, LeBron's the better player. You could say he's the better this, he's the better that. You add it up, this is just another stat that to me makes the whole GOAT conversation in the NBA ridiculous. It's Michael and everybody else. Kind of like The Godfather and every other American movie. When we come back.
8-7.
Oh, let's do a countdown before we go. No, when we come back, we are going to talk about not only tonight's big baseball game on TV, but Brad Power's conspiracy theory when it comes to the Final Four.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox, and this is the pregame show you've always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
I'm RJ Bell. We're Straight Outta Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of you, the fan. We've got a game coming up here in Major League Baseball on ESPN. We will preview that here momentarily. But first, we'll let you know, Straight Outta Vegas, we are brought to you by Maaco. You might not be able to get a new car with your tax refund, but you can make your car feel like it's brand new. All it needs is a great paint job. Come into Maaco today and get your dream paint job during their tax season sales event. Opening pitch in about a half hour from now. In Atlanta, it is the Cubs and the Braves. Right now, Atlanta is a slight favorite on pregame.com.
Yeah, and this was a real steam play. Cubs opened up minus 115, and pregame pro Dave Esler, who likes the Braves, and I'm following him here, betting the Braves, he said they opened up the Cubs minus 115 because they're the Cubs. Very popular team, but there's been a lot of Braves money since. And this has been sharp money. That's one of the things we'll be getting into with the baseball, with the NBA playoffs. Some money's from the public, some money's from the pros. We're able to tell the difference. Most of the time we are accurate on it. We're not always right, but we're pretty close. So a lot of sharp bettors, professionals on the Braves. One of the reasons Lester against lefties, and the Braves got some good lefty bats. And also, the Cubs bullpen early, their ERA nearly 8. So when you have that sense of the whole bullpen's in disarray, until it gets settled down, it can be a psychological problem. Negative on the Cubs. You add it up. Dave Esler, I agree with him, like and betting the Braves.
The news came out yesterday, RJ, and we talked about it here on Straight Outta Vegas, that the AAF is suspending all operations. The league appears to be folding. 2 weeks left still in the regular season. They had the playoffs to look forward to, and the AAF is going to be done. And now reports are coming out that players had to pay for their own flights home, that their last check that they just got is their final check, no severance, et cetera, et cetera. Not a good look for the AAF.
Except what's the AAF?
Alliance of American Football.
Exactly, which is a defunct league.
Yes.
So I think it goes to show you, and this is a great macro life lesson. If there's a brand involved, if there's a consequence for a person or an entity for acting poorly, for acting badly, they may or may not do it. They're going to weigh it. Okay, if I do this, everyone's going to be talking negatively about me, but boy, she's pretty. Or whatever, right? You're weighing all these options. But when there's no consequence, when there's no entity or person, or at least a person who cares, that's going to get any heat, if they can say, oh, that was someone else's decision. Dick Ebersol isn't making this decision, so he's not taking any heat. Then you'll get $0, literally zero. So to me, let's not act like this is so egregious. It's a stain on the AAF because the AAF doesn't exist anymore. That's the point. You know, Jonas, sometimes I'm a little jealous of you. I mean, you're just so smooth on the radio. So occasionally, right. Occasionally, when we have to do two reads in a segment, I like to do one and compare it to yours.
Okay.
So here we go. What do you think of the music?
Well, you already have an advantage.
I like that. You might not be able to get a new car with your tax refund, but you can make your car feel like it's brand new. All you need is a great paint job. Come to Maaco today and get your dream paint job during their tax season sales event.
That's how it's done. Pyrotechnics, the works. I like it. That's
what
how
do
it's
you think?
Done.
Was that all right?
It was good. Better than mine because you had a background.
No,
music,
no. Just better than mine is all we needed.
That's
that
it.
That was enough. All right, Brad. We've talked about it. We've only got 1 minute. You've got a conspiracy theory.
Yeah, I do not think the NCAA wants Auburn to win the national championship. Why? Auburn's one of these 5-6 schools that's caught up in this FBI investigation. Auburn's had to release a couple assistant coaches, including one just before the SEC tournament. And where do we see this show up? Auburn, by all accounts, should have been a 3 or 4 seed coming into the tournament. Auburn gets a 5 seed. And not only that, but they have to go through North Carolina, Kansas, and Kentucky.
Think about what they had to do to get here.
Yeah, I think if their push comes to shove, if there's a questionable call late, I think it goes against Auburn.
Because the theory is if Auburn wins it, they're going to be discussing Auburn the whole offseason as the champions and as a problem with the feds. I don't think the NCAA wants that.
The Odd Couple is next. We are straight out of Vegas. Back tomorrow, 6 p.m. Eastern time, right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.